Hello, it's Richard Herring here. Welcome to my podcast feed, powered by Acast Plus. And my stand-up tour is about to begin. Can I have my ball back? First stand-up tour in 6 years. Many of you just know me from the podcast. Don't know, I've done 14 or 15 stand-up tours in my own right. I'm a brilliant stand-up comedian, and can I have my ball back? I think it's my best show ever. That's what the audiences are saying. It's about testicular cancer, but it's funny because testicles are funny even though cancer isn't. I'm really pleased with it. I'd love you to come and see it. Bring your friends. Some of the shows selling really well, some of them selling really badly. It's a traditional Richard Herring tour. But here's where I'm going to be. 2nd of May, Thursday at the Luton Hat Factory. It's a small venue, but there are still tickets left. 3rd of May, I'm at the Bury Hedge End, which is near Southampton. That's looking more full, but still some availability. 8th of May, I'm at the Leicester Square Theatre. There's about 10 tickets left for that one, though I am back at the Leicester Square Theatre in June. And then I'm at St Albans on the 9th, Gloucester on the 10th, Chorley Little Theatre on the 11th. That's sold out, but you can join the waiting list. And then the 12th of May, I'm at Glasgow. Afternoon show sold out. Evening show, extra show, put on, still with tickets. And then there's lots more. Go to richardherring.com/ballback/tour or richardherring.com/gigs. And now, enjoy whatever podcast I've given you. It's free. It's all for you. If you want to pay me back, buy a book, come and see a show. That's all I've got to say to you. Love you.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot, we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
There's never been a faster or easier way to start your weight loss journey than with PlushCare. PlushCare accepts most insurance plans and gives you online access to board-certified physicians who can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Take charge of your health and speak with a board-certified physician about a weight loss plan that's right for you. Get started today at PlushCare.com/weightloss. That's PlushCare.com/weightloss. PlushCare.com/weightloss.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to the Leicester Square Theatre. Please welcome a man who's never had his penis, Marmite penis, licked by a cat. Is Richard Herring? Oh yeah. Oh yeah. You should have killed me last year. So welcome to Richard Herring's Leicester Square Theatre podcast, or as some of the cool kids are calling it, Rahel Lesterper. They're calling it. They go Rahel Lesterper. That's what they do. That's it, Rahel Lesterper. That's what they say. So thank you. It's good. Someone's paying attention. I was talking last week to last week's audience, who are very similar to you in a lot of ways. About my idea about it'd be nice, wouldn't it, if everyone was a baby, if everyone became a baby. That would be nice. But then I thought it might be quite a good sort of zombie film where some people turn into babies, and then if anyone touches those babies, they turn into babies. I thought that'd be quite a cool. It'd be difficult to read because they're quite cute. I forgot to turn into a baby. But also, it'd be quite sick because, like, if there was like a plane full of people and then one of them was infected and became a baby, they'd all become babies. And then part of the film would be a plane of babies flying into a mountain. I think I would pay to see. So it'd cater to people who like babies. Go, lots of babies. And people who, and then you have to kill the babies so they don't infect you. So just lots of. And someone on Twitter came up with a great type for that, zombie thing. And then it turns out there's already a film called that, so I was quite annoyed about that. And then somehow on Twitter it came up to the idea of having Wombles as zombies, which I thought that would be amazing, right? Overground, underground, it would be an amazing thing. So that's what I've been thinking about. I managed to pitch two films in one night on Twitter, so that's the Zombabies and either Wombies. But that would look like Woomies if you wrote it down. So I think that's it. So I think Zombles is the best. Zombles or Zombie Wombles. I just have to get the rights from Elizabeth Berthard and maybe Mike Batt. I think I've got the name of the author of that right. Anyone correct? It was Elizabeth Berthard who wrote the Wombles? Yes, it was. Yes, it was, Rich. We all knew it was. We didn't want to applaud your excellent memory skills. So, my first guest this week, on this week's show, she's probably best known as Various from Robert's Web. I loved her as that Various. Will you please welcome Diane Morgan, ladies and gentlemen? It's Diane Morgan! Pick up a microphone and then you hold it near your face and then they're off.
Is this Stuart's?
That is no, I think these are fresh
oh,
new
right,
ones
okay.
That have come out just for us. I didn't think they were there, but they are there. There's lots of water down there. So do you remember Robert's Web is it's not the best name for a TV show.
Clever though, isn't it?
It's quite clever, but it's not as good as Improvisation, My Dear Mark Watson. Which if you've been
is
in that
real?
Yeah. Robert's Web, because he's called Rob Webb, and he was about the into web.
Yeah.
So that was quite good. And he also, did he present inside? He was in a web, wasn't he, when he was sort of dressed as a
that
spider?
That would have been better. He should have been in a web, yeah. No, he wasn't. He was just behind a desk.
What was your various roles in that?
I did some sketches with Joe Wilkinson.
Oh, yes, I know him.
Yeah, Beardy, Joe Wilkinson. He's very successful now. We did some sketches together, some sort of green screen sketches.
Oh, okay.
They're on the internet. If you'd like
to see
them.
I think I watched some of them. They're very good. I didn't realise they were from Robert's Web. I have more respect for Robert's Web.
Oh, no. Another one you're thinking of. Not the really good ones. Oh,
okay.
The quite poor ones that we made for Robert's Web.
Okay. Good. And you've been doing comedy and comedy acting. You're in a Ken Campbell play. Was that one of the films?
Yes.
Was Ken Campbell the actor?
Yes.
Wow.
Yeah.
I love Ken Campbell.
Ken Campbell. Did you meet him?
I didn't. I went to see one of his 24-hour things, and then I got too tired and had to go home.
Right. Yeah.
Because I like sleeping. I think that would have been. I don't think that would have been the one you did because that was in the 1990s.
Yeah, that would have been
the same one.
Yeah.
Gosh.
Yeah. I know. I'm ancient.
Yeah.
Not look it. But because the first one was in the 60s,
I think.
I wasn't in that one. I was in the 90s.
Okay.
Because it was the first job I ever got out of drama school. I was unemployed for years after drama school. And I went to this bookshop in Camden wearing this really weird woolly hat because it was winter. And because I'd heard there was a notice board in this bookshop for actors that had jobs on it and things. So I went to look at this notice board, really miserable I was, staring at this notice board. And then all of a sudden I heard this voice saying, "Aren't you an actress?" And I turned around and thought, oh my God, that's the guy from In Sickness and In Health. He was Alf Garnett's neighbour. And he said, "Come downstairs. I think I might have a part for you."
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah. Dirty beggar. And it was weird. I went downstairs and there was a group of actors all sat in a circle. All the men were wearing red lipstick. But they auditioned me. I got the part. The rest is history. I was on in, I think, the 18th hour.
Oh, yeah. I didn't see you then. I was meant to review it for the Sunday Times.
Oh, really?
Yeah, and I love Ken Campbell.
Yeah.
And I just couldn't follow it, and I was just too tired. But I love sleeping, me.
Yeah, no.
So like
I
going
do.
To see a 24-hour play was stupid.
I nearly missed it myself.
Yeah. But I loved him so much. I wrote a thing that I realised I should have got him to be in.
Aww.
I wrote this thing about so a script sitcom about our local bar in Ballam, which was called Goblins. We used to talk about it all the time, but an idea of that, a Scrabble club running from that, and I realised too late that he would have been a great person.
He would have been perfect.
But then also he died 4 months later, so it was good, you know, been annoying to get him,
and then he died. Scrap the show.
Yeah, but it didn't happen anyway. So, you know, it would have been good to have him on it.
Yeah, it's good to have Ken in anything.
Yeah.
He's always an asset, wasn't he?
He was amazing. He did fantastic on one-man shows. Did you ever see
I never saw any of them live, but I saw them, you know, later.
Oh, well, dead now.
Yeah.
So,
But I've been having a very enjoyable weekend watching two episodes of MASH and bits and pieces of that, which is I loved on the radio. I always used to listen to that driving. When you're driving around.
It's kind of, it was on quite like late, about, wasn't it?
Well, that's because, so for a comedian, it's fantastic. But it's like a sketch show, but it's not like usual Radio 4 sketch shows where all the men talk in the same voice.
Yeah, we slipped through the net at the BBC. Yeah. But they didn't want our TV pilot, though. They turned it down after 3 years.
Did they?
3 years they kept us waiting. And then they went, nah.
It's quite, you're sort of mostly just yourselves, whatever characters you are.
Yeah, very low energy.
I like that.
Yeah, well, we did. We decided, because we both started doing stand-up at the same time and hated it, that we would do sketches. And we watched a lot of sketch acts that were around at the time, and a lot of them were sort of bound on stage, very, you know, Oxbridge-y. No offence. and just be really full of energy and happy, and it was just awful. And I thought, if we do something, let's not do that, you know. Let's just go on and just be normal. Well, let's tell them what's happening, what's going to happen, you know. And we did.
Yeah.
And people liked it, except the BBC.
They don't know anything about anything. Yeah. It's a nice relationship you have with Joe in that it's mainly about you
don't
just
know
being,
him.
Being rude to him. It's really quite nasty to him, and there's a lot of stuff that is about him being knocked back by you.
Yeah.
As a friend and a lover. And
yeah. Well, we decided to put that in because just because it's a man and a woman, people automatically, are they going out? Is there something going? It doesn't necessarily, you could just be friends. So we always used to start the show with, you know, tell them we're not going out. Just to get it out in the open.
It looked more like, I don't want people thinking I'm going out with you, to be honest.
Yeah.
From your point of view.
It's that as well. Yeah.
You've done a lot of different kind of things. So you were stand-up.
I've done everything.
You've done everything.
I've tried everything.
Acting, stand-up.
Yeah.
Sketch shows, short films.
Radio, short films. I've been around for ages. God bless Charlie Brooker.
How did the Charlie Brooker thing come about? Because it started.
People always ask me that, like I did a raffle.
It's such a genius character, and it feels like it sort of came. It sort of evolved.
It's basically just me, though.
Well, if so, then you're very, very funny because it's just someone having, you know, looking at world events in a slightly stupid, but actually quite. It's a perceptive. It slices through to the heart
Thank
of the matter.
Thank you. I had to audition for it.
Did you?
Yeah.
So was it a written thing or was it?
It was because there's a character called Barry Shitpeas.
There is.
Yeah.
I want to hear more about him. What he's like in real life.
And they wanted a female Barry Shitpeas. They decided, but they wanted someone posh, so that it didn't look like we were taking the piss out of people with regional accents. That's why she's called Philomena, because she was meant to be quite posh. But then I turned up, I did my posh bit, and I said, actually, can I try it in my own accent? Because I think it's funnier. And they were like, I'm not so sure about that. I'll go on then. So I did it, and then didn't hear anything for ages, and then I heard it got the job.
Right. Mm. I think there's a lot to be said about it. And when I was doing radio sketch shows, it was often, you know, you'd do something and there'd be like a French character in it, and then people would do that French accent. You kind of go, can we just do it not in a French accent? Because it's much, you lose all the nuance of the.
Exactly.
If you bring on a character, you lose the nuance.
Yeah. I think it's funny, the more sincere and truthful it looks, the funnier it is.
Yeah.
If it had been a character that looked like, you know, it's just someone acting, it's just not as funny, I think.
There's so many brilliant ones, and I was watching the one where you were talking about Die Hard 5.
Oh yeah, that's one of my favourites. Yeah,
but it's just because it goes on and on about how brilliant it looks.
Yeah,
but without saying anything bad about it, it completely pulls the film.
Yeah, I think Barry Shitpeas starts the sketch off saying that he thought he was watching the TV from across the room, and he thought Bruce Willis was Jasper Carrot. He thought Golden Balls had come back. Is that the name of the programme, yes. Golden Balls?
It is.
Sounds like I'm making it up. Golden Balls.
It is, yeah. Based on the prisoner's dilemma, that...
Is it?
I think that's what
What's
it's
the prisoner's dilemma?
Yeah. It's the thing about whether you, if you have both have an opportunity to have something, you can share it, or one of you can have it. I mean, basically, it's what happens in Golden Balls. If you've got some money,
I know, I didn't watch it.
Then you can either choose to share it, in which case you'll get it. If you both say share, you get it. If you both
I'm
say steal,
interest.
You don't get it. It's a really good show anyway, Golden Balls. You've made me wish it had come. I'm a big fan of game shows. Do you watch them?
Not really.
Tipping Point?
No.
You'd like that. That's easier to explain than Golden Balls.
Do you know what I was thinking when you said Tipping Point?
What?
I was thinking of that lesbian drama.
Tipping the Velvet.
That. Different.
That
different
would make
thing.
A good game show as well. It's quite a different kind of. Late night thing. No, it's like, you know when you go to arcades and you put 2p in and it goes like that
on
the shelves?
Yeah, that's a game show. I love those things.
Yeah, yeah.
2p things.
I went on one. I went to Southwold. You must go if you haven't
right.
been to Southwold. Because they've got some of those 2p machines.
Oh, great.
I put like in £1.20 and I only got about 10p back. So oh.
Sometimes there's a digital watch at the side.
Yeah. I won little dice.
Did you?
And I won a crayon and I won a sweet.
You're really
I want a sweet, and I ate the sweet, and when I unwrapped it, it was like completely stuck. And like, you know, like when they really...
It must have been in there for decades.
It was in there. And my wife said, don't eat that, and I ate it. But in Southwell Pier, you've got to go.
Where is Southwell?
It's like on, I don't know, it's near the nuclear reactor. It's in Suffolk, and it's near, what's that place called... what's it called now? My brain's gone to jelly. I've done one of these. Chernobyl. It's near Chernobyl. That's where it's near. And there's a pier, but on the pier they've got this brilliant artist whose name escapes me in the second. And they do loads of arcade games, but they're really weird things. Like they put some of your hair into it, and then it gives you a DNA analysis of it. It's a kind of joke.
That's
thing.
That's brilliant.
It's like a joke thing, but
right?
It's, and so you pay loads of money for it, so it's like an arcade. But
I like
get an
those things.
Experience. Yeah, I did one of those. Tim Hunkin. That's who it is. Thank you very much. They're like Wikipedia.
Yeah.
My
good on.
Not a very efficient PG.
So no, I don't like game shows.
No, okay. You're doing a game show though, right?
I'll do them. I'll go on.
Mr. Game Show. That's your new show.
Oh, that one. Yeah.
Is that a game show? Or is that a show about a game show?
It's well, we haven't sorted it out yet.
Okay.
We're having a run through tomorrow.
Oh, yeah.
No, Tuesday. It'll have games in it.
Yeah.
And other stuff.
Is it you and Mike Wozniak?
Yeah.
Who's been on this, on the, not the real one, the McCunthorpe one. Not the real one. He's not good enough to be on the real one. is there anything you can tell us about that, or is it all top secret?
Top secret.
Top secret, okay.
I don't know.
No. You interview comedians as well. This is a little theme.
Sometimes, yeah. On the radio.
On the radio. I heard you on the way when I was coming back from a gig.
Did you?
Yeah, I listened to you.
Who was it? Oh, wasn't the American girl, was it?
Yeah, it was.
Oh. Wasn't a good one. I knew it'd be that one.
She didn't seem to quite get it.
Because it was August, you see. There wasn't many comedians around.
I'd have come on. I've been at home all the August. You could have had me on.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, never mind.
Never mind.
How'd you come up with your questions for the comedians that you have when you have...
I sit there and I think...
Yeah.
I use the Have You Ever Seen a Ghost one as well.
Yeah, we did that backstage. Have you ever seen a ghost? It was a really good answer.
Yeah.
I regretted doing it backstage. It's for the people who pay a pound. You get a secret channel.
Or you can just ask me later.
Yeah. She's seen a ghost, and definitely has seen a ghost. It's worth £1 a month to find out about that. It's quite hard coming up with questions, isn't it? For
it really is. Yeah. I usually ask the same ones every
Yeah,
every
I do that as well. But this time I've got... I'll ask this one because someone asked me to do this one. I've got a thing called Desert Island Dicks.
Oh, brilliant.
It's not what you're thinking, though. If you were a stander on a desert island, what 8 Richards would you take with you? It's a difficult question.
There are a lot of Richards.
But it's quite hard to bring eight to mind. It's easy to get about three, and then you'll find it's difficult. But I do.
All I can think is Richard Madeley.
Yeah, definitely can happen.
He wouldn't be one of the eight. Obviously.
I'm there.
Oh, you're already on there.
I'm there.
So what? I need seven or another eight.
You need another eight. I'm the Shakespeare.
Richard.
I'm Richard
the
Shakespeare.
The third.
Yeah, good. It's weird how that's the second time you've said.
Richard.
There's two more.
What are the Richards on there? Richard. Richard Attenborough, he'd be brilliant on a
desert
island.
You're not allowed to. If you ask the audience, that does not count. So it's about whether you can think of eight different Richards.
I can only think of Richard.
I know, it's difficult. I'm going to make this into a game show called How Many Richards Can You Think Of? It's kind of ruined.
Later, because people will prepare at home if they know it.
If it's a game show, they'll come in and they'll have a list of a million Richards.
You should have some tense music playing.
I'll put that in later. Okay, I'll ask one of the, so that's an old one, so we'll ask, that didn't work, so we'll ask you a new one. Has anything you've written ever then come true? Like in the case of Charlie Brooker writing about David Cameron.
God, it's like Nostradamus, isn't he?
And then it turned out he had done that. Well, it's sort of like Nostradamus, but prophesizing something that's already happened.
Yeah.
That isn't as good.
No.
You think about it.
No, because I write, you know, stupid stuff. Things that couldn't possibly, or just dull things.
Two spiders could have come to life and talked about stuff.
God, you've really done your homework, haven't you?
That's most of your sketches are just two spiders talking about stuff. I like it, it's good. I'll ask, that one didn't work either. Okay, why can't everyone be babies?
Because, well, we'd all die out, wouldn't we?
Yeah, we would, but it'd be a great day, though, wouldn't it? It'd just be a great day.
You wouldn't even remember. You're not even conscious as a baby,
are
you?
It wouldn't matter. We'd be babies, it
No.
I think you are conscious as a baby.
You're not.
You are.
You're not.
Like a seven-month-old baby.
I don't think I was fully conscious until I was about nine.
What's your earliest? I was reading, you know, the Guardian thing where they ask you what's your earliest memory. Someone's earliest memory was when they were 7 years old. That can't be your earliest memory. They remember going to school for 7 years old. What's your? Because my earliest memory, I reckon, I can remember the moon launch going in 1969, and I was under two. I was two then.
Yeah, no, you haven't. You just think you can remember.
I think I can remember.
No, I don't think so.
I know it's not just that I think I can remember. I think I can remember.
I think you get confused as well with things you've seen.
Yeah.
You think they're memories, but they're not. They're photographs or things like that.
Yeah.
I think my earliest memory was, I must have been about two. Mm. And it was reaching into a toy, sort of. I think it was like a wooden caravan. That was one of my toys. And putting bricks inside, and my brother taking the bricks out again, not understanding why he wasn't leaving them in.
Right. Yeah, it's good, you know. It's not.
It's not a great anecdote, but you asked.
I wanted to know. I'm going to write it down as one of my emergency questions.
Right.
What I want to find out is what is the oldest that someone's been for their earliest memory?
Oh, yeah, that's
memory.
A good one.
That's what I want to find out, but that was different. So two for you.
But what if
that's
they're in good. A coma for
well,
the
Well, that fifth. Doesn't count. It's
All
like
right.
they're like a normal person, nothing bad's happened to them. The problem is, when I was starting to take the piss out on this on Twitter, people said, well, people who've been through traumas in their life will often forget their childhood. So I thought, I'm probably better.
Just play along.
Just having a laugh. I was just taking the piss out of whoever. It was some singer or something. I can't remember who it was. Then the next week, it was six. I thought, what's going on? 6 years old. Do you remember anything before that? I remember when I can remember things before I was four, definitely, because I moved when I was four.
Yeah.
So I can remember stuff that happened before I was four. And one of my earliest memories is finding a bird that had fallen, a baby bird that had fallen out of a nest in the street.
We've all
done that. With my
brother
and sister, and then taking it home and then it died.
Oh.
Yeah, it was sad.
Yeah.
Okay, one more, and then we'll go back to asking you about your interesting life.
Okay.
Actually, you might do more than one.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices
down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. I bet you get 30, 30, I bet you get 30, I bet you get 20, 20, 20, I bet you get 20, 20, I bet you get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month, sold.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Many of us have those stubborn pounds that seem impossible to lose, no matter how good we eat or how hard we work out. My solution is PlushCare. PlushCare is a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. They can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Plus, they accept most insurance plans. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss.
Have you ever put your genitals in or near the mouth of a dead animal? That was a waste of the... So that was a waste. I like kettle crisps, but I don't think they're good as they used to be. Right? If you could travel back in time...
What is happening?
If you could travel back in time to compare any food of today with the original version of it in the past, A... What? Which food? It's a new... I'm running this one. It's a new one. Which food...
Bring back parking.
Which food? Is there any food you'd like to taste how it tasted in the olden days? Like, I'd like to go to taste kettle crisps from 5 years ago and compare them to them
now.
Well,
they didn't have much in the olden days, did they?
Well, you know, they did, but things have changed.
They just had pies and...
Yeah. That'd be... Would you like... I would be interested to go back and eat a pie from Richard III's day, wouldn't it?
See would you?
Yeah, it'd be interesting.
Well, it'd probably have less salt and preservatives.
It'd have less preservatives. It'd have more rotten meat inside it.
Yeah.
Yeah. No, you're probably right. And on the whole, it's probably best... we don't need to, actually, what I remember...
Oh, no. Well, these are the emergency questions.
This is an emergency question that someone has paid to ask.
They've paid?
Yeah.
How much?
Quite a lot of money.
God,
it was on part of the Kickstarter.
I hope I can answer it.
So Hugh O'Sullivan said, what is the most criminal act you committed as a child?
I've stolen a few things.
Yeah. What was the most expensive of those
most
things?
Most expensive.
That would be the most criminal thing.
Oh, God. Probably a pen. Yeah, I remember stealing a pen.
Yeah.
I didn't get caught. Happy now?
You made the first mistake that many criminals make, which is admitting to your crime. And now people can come and get you for it. I started shoplifting when I was like in my 20s. Embarrassingly too late.
I had a few shoplifting things in my 20s as well.
I still shoplift quite a lot of things.
It's around the Ken Campbell era.
Yeah.
I was shoplifting cheese quite often. There was a Waitrose and I didn't have much money, so I'd often nick some cheese.
Yeah. If you're going to steal it, though, you know, going to Waitrose is like...
Yeah, get the good stuff.
Well, I suppose, if you're going to steal it.
Yeah. What was the last thing you stole, then? Apparently, the most stolen thing in the supermarket are razor blades.
Oh, really?
Yeah. It's because they're so expensive.
They are too expensive.
They're really expensive.
Well, that's why I steal things that I think are too expensive. So if I feel a crime has been committed, so I steal pick and mix, I steal a lot of. Because I feel like that's also, there's a line there where it's hard.
Yeah.
But the other day I did steal, I was going to steal a pick and mix, and now I know, because I've admitted on this, and on Twitter someone said, well, everyone in WH Smith is looking out for you, stealing pick and mixes, which makes it more exciting, to be honest.
For me.
So I start when I'm on the way to a service, I only do it at a service station. when I'm on the way to a service station, I'll be able to say, I'm on the M1. I'll tweet and say, I'm going to steal a pick and mix. It's like I'm taunting WH Smith.
What pick and mix do you have?
I like the, I forgot what they're called again, but they're like a bubble, they're like a cola bottle, but they taste sort of
bubble. Oh, yeah, the fizzy ones, yeah. Or the non-sugary.
Well, they're sort of slightly fizzy, but they're blue and pink rather than cola bottles.
Oh, those ones, yeah, they're good, yeah.
Yeah, but the other day I went in and then I was going to steal one, then I got cold feet, so I put a pack, I thought they might be looking at me. So I did like a whole bag of pick and mix, and then I stole all of them. And then I realised that is actually a crime now. When I've just stolen one, that isn't a crime.
Imagine if you got caught.
I know.
It'd have been all over Chortle. Richard Herring steals pick and mix.
But I'm doing it to show. But is it morally? Is it worse to have stolen like 50 pick and mixes in 50 separate occasions, or just do 20 all at once? I'm satirising myself there by doing that. I'm potentially going to prison.
Is it the thrill? Is it part of the thrill?
Also the free stuff.
Free stuff. Yeah.
Free sweets. Mm. Is mainly what I'm going for. With that. No, that's revealed more about me than it has about you. You stole a pen. You stole a pen when you were a child. That is very exciting.
Yeah.
Don't steal stuff. It's really it drives the price. The reason pick and mix are so expensive is mainly because I steal so many. But it's kind of exciting to know people are looking out for you. What do you think would happen if I got caught stealing pick and mix? Like one pick and mix.
What, one sweet?
Just eating one sweet.
I think you just get a caution.
Yeah, I think you would. So, you know, but they wouldn't write that down anywhere, so you could go, they go, don't do it again.
Yeah, if it was a whole bag, though,
yeah.
They'd take you into the back room.
Yeah. Like Ken Campbell. Living men with lipstick.
Yes.
Okay. So, like, you used to box up worming tablets.
Yeah.
Is that genuinely true?
Yeah.
It is.
Yeah, it's awful. I've had an awful life.
What amusing things happened during... What, worming tablets for dogs?
Dogs, worming stuff. Tablets, yeah. For dogs. You know, it's to stop them dragging their asses across the carpet.
Yeah.
That. Well, it was like 10 hours a day.
Yeah.
Just doing that. That was counting that, because they had to be like 10 packets in a box, so you'd have to count...
Still,
for 10 hours.
Steal them, couldn't you? Could have many free worming tablets as you wanted.
Yeah, you could.
How long did you work doing worming tablets for?
I only stayed there about a month.
Yeah. Did anyone last longer than a month? Were there people there who'd been doing it for years?
I couldn't believe how soul destroying it was. You weren't allowed to sit down, and you weren't allowed to talk.
Was this in the UK?
They said it'd slow you down.
Right.
And the woman who worked opposite me, she must have been late 50s. And I said, how long have you worked here? And she said, about 30 years. I was like, oh, jeez. I said, why don't you run away? And she said, well, I've got a family. You know, I've got a family to feed. I can't... So, it was a massive wake-up call. And, went back. Because it was a summer holiday job.
Yeah.
So I really pulled my socks up when I went back to school. Tried harder, you know. Then went to drama school. Blew it all.
And you write horoscopes?
Yes. Linda Cockshott's horoscopes.
Do you have any good ones coming up? Do you know what's happening in the future?
I've done loads of them, you know. And it's exhausting. I've got other stuff on the go.
Yeah.
I might do some more in the future.
They're very funny.
Thank you.
They are very... Because, like, a lot of people do, like, a horoscope thing as a joke.
Yeah.
It's quite hard to do that in a funny way.
Yeah, it's hard to keep coming up with new ones as well.
But they're very imaginative. Can you remember any of them?
No.
No, okay. You'll have to look up on Standard Issue. There was...
I can't do
them justice because they're really nicely written little things. So I can't just approximate, so I won't. Do you know there's 12 Diane Morgans on IMDb?
There's an artist, isn't there?
There's 12 actresses, but I think two of them are you. Because
there's one. Did you see when you Googled Diane Morgan? Click on images. If you scroll down, there's a woman with just in bed with her arse out. Really close to my photos as well. Oh, it's awful. Might contact her and tell her to remove it. She's got her arse hanging out of the bed.
The writer of A Fishy Tale was Diane Morgan. Was that you?
No.
Okay. You were, but there's two. I think you're 4 and 8 on IMDb because you were in the Alan Partridge movie, right?
Well, if you didn't blink.
Yeah, well, you're down as that.
Right.
So that's someone.
Woman in
someone's
crowd.
Put you in twice. Yeah. Number. So you're number 8 and number 4.
What does that mean?
At the Diane, there's 12 Diane Morgans.
Do you mean there's
IMDb.
Who's number 1?
Not you. She was. There's one from like 1965. That's the thing. It's a common name. You've got to watch out. And when you do your interviews as Philomena Cunk, you know that's very close to cunt, right? And so there's
no.
This could be rude. Okay, just tell me. And spunk as well. It's like two rude words. Just be more careful in the future. when you interview the academics and stuff, do they know what's going on, or do they think they're being interviewed by a normal person?
Well, we tell them as little as possible.
Yeah.
And I think one guy knew. It was the computers guy. Because
right.
He was a big Charlie Brooker fan.
Right.
But he played along, God bless him. But a lot, I think you could tell the others that just don't know what's going on.
It's kind of fun, because those academics, I've always enjoyed interviewing them because they're in their own little world.
Absolutely,
so you can ask
yeah.
something stupid and then they will try and... I love it when they try and answer it.
Yeah, it's great. And they go on for... We record for about an hour. Those interviews, so they cut down. Like you should see the stuff that doesn't go in. And some of them get really angry as well. Like the last guy on Democracy, he looked like he was going to punch me. Honestly, they had to stop filming and restrain him. And they said, "Can you not be so aggressive with Philomena?" I said, "No, just let him be aggressive because it's funnier, isn't it? If he's..." I wanted him to punch me just because it would have made great TV.
And you're doing a sitcom with Andrew Lawrence.
A radio sitcom. Yeah. It's already done, yeah.
Is it?
Yeah, and Graham Fellows plays my dad.
Oh, fantastic. I love Graham Fellows. Andrew Lawrence can't get on TV or radio because of the, conspiracy. It's the conspiracy against him as a white man. He can't get on, apart from all the stuff he does. He can't do it. Are you playing his wife in it?
His girlfriend. Yeah,
right.
Yeah.
How's that? That's a, must be a different fictional thing for him to have had. How is he all right?
He's great.
Yeah, okay, good. Yeah, I've just been worried about him.
Have you?
Yeah.
I don't really know what's going on there. I know that there was some sort of Twitter thing with him. People were offended. But
I think he's very funny. He's a very funny guy.
Yeah, I think the thing is, he hates everyone equally, you know. He doesn't just...
More, and women and ethnic people more than that.
Well, I didn't really get into that with him. I should have asked him, but...
I'm just interested.
It was good fun.
Was it, yeah?
Yeah.
When's it coming out?
October, mid-October.
Won't come out, though, because of the conspiracy against him. It won't. That'll never be on. I'll probably cut that bit out, Diane, don't worry. I'll probably cut it out. I'll do an emergency question. I'll do
this,
a good one.
Is this going well? I can't
it
tell.
Is going, it is. I think it is going all right.
You seem to be looking in that book a lot.
I know, but that's what I do. That's my job.
Oh, right. Yeah. Because I was listening backstage when Stuart was on.
Yeah.
And you didn't seem to be sort of...
Well, you couldn't hear from backstage that I was looking at my book. I was
Were you?
Yeah, I was really looking at it a lot because he's...
Yeah,
no. It was hard work. It was hard work with it. What song would you like to replace our national anthem with? Because I don't think the national anthem is very good.
No, it's awful, isn't it?
Something that Jeremy
Corbyn wouldn't have sung it.
You wouldn't have sung it?
Nope.
No. Even if you're the leader of the Labour Party?
Yeah, even if I was, no. No, what would I have? I'd have... I believe the children in the future. I don't know.
George Benson or Whitney Houston version, no.
Ooh.
No, too much. It's the same song.
What would you have?
I think just something comical and funny. I tell you what I really like at the moment, it's because I've got a small child, is Elmo's song from the Sesame Street.
Oh, that'd be perfect.
It would be where he goes, la, 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 Elmo song. It goes like that. It's a song Elmo's made up. But you can change Elmo to anything. That's what the whole point is, because Big Bird's annoyed.
So you can change it to England song.
Yeah, so it could be England song. Then it could be, if you want, like the Queen, you can go, Peter's with the second song. Elmo's song. It's a very good song. I like Elmo. Do you know the Muppet? You know Sesame Street? Did you ever watch it?
I was more of a Muppet girl.
Yeah, well, I was as well, but I do remember Sesame Street a bit. But now having a child, I watch Sesame Street a little bit. I used to watch kids' TV when I was just hungover at 4 o'clock in the morning when I didn't have a child. That was wrong. Now it's okay for me to talk about this stuff. Elmo, I think, is brilliant. I love him. He's happy go lucky.
Is that the one in a bin? There's one in a bin, isn't there?
No, it's not him. I like him as well. But in Elmo, I don't like Big Bird. I think Big Bird's a bit of a prick. In Elmo's song, Big Bird comes and goes, oh, I wish I had a song as well. Write your own fucking song. In Elmo's song, he's going, Elmo starts singing the song, and Big Bird goes, ooh, it's quite good, isn't it? It goes like that. He's looking like he's trying to be encouraging, but he's actually being patronising. And then there's Mr. Snuffleupagus. I do not like him. And when he sings Elmo's song, he does a change. He goes, na 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 na, Snuffy song. He does a little fake thing on the top of it.
Does he?
Yeah, I hate both of them. I think it may be just the oversized Sesame Street characters are all pricks.
What was the one in the bin?
Oscar the Grouch. He's all right.
Right, yeah, I like that one.
And there was the Count, counted stuff.
Yeah, I liked him.
He was good. But Elmo's great. I think Elmo's my favourite character from literature. Because he's very happy-go-lucky and he's nice and he shares his song.
Yeah.
And you can tickle him. He likes that.
Who was your favourite Muppet?
I like Janice from the band. Well, this is
who I'd have sex with out of the
Muppets. If I had to have sex with a Muppet.
Was it the one with the long blonde
hair?
Yeah,
blonde hair and quite big match.
If
David Cameron had put his cock in Janice from the Muppets' mouth, that wouldn't be a problem. No one would care about that.
I think it'd still be weird, to be honest.
If it came out, do you think people were saying that's, you know, the news? He's put his cock in the Muppet's mouth.
I'd love that.
He's probably put his cock in all kinds of things. I was at Oxford University at the same time
as David Cameron. Were you?
Yeah, and I never did. I never put my cock even like in a woman. So I'm quite jealous.
But this kind of stuff did go on, didn't it?
I don't know. Well, I'd heard of the Bullingdon Club because one of my friends wanted to be in it, but there was no way he could because he was like a comprehensive kid. And I think it's very hard to get into those things. But I just mixed in a completely different world. Weirdly, the comedy was all on in the Oxford Union. So there was a weekly comedy club in the Oxford Union, which is where all those guys were upstairs. We were in a cellar downstairs. We could have, if we'd known... We could have been like little Guy Fawkeses and blown them all up, taken them all out. Because they were all there. Boris Johnson was there, Cameron, I think Osborne was there, I'm not sure.
So are there any photos? But they were trying to get hold of the photos.
The photos of Cameron and the pig?
Yeah.
I think that would sort it out, wouldn't it?
By
the time this comes out, maybe they'll know.
Oh, I'd love that.
Yeah. Just would you love to see a picture of David Cameron's penis in a pig's mouth?
Yes, I would.
Yeah. I don't think it happened.
Do you not?
No.
Of course it did.
I don't think it did. So you want it to happen, and so you think it's happened, but it's been made up by a horrible man.
You could just see it in his eyes.
But even if it did happen, he didn't have sex with a pig, he just put his penis in a dead pig's mouth, which is very different.
Well, technically, though.
Not having sex with it.
Yeah.
I feel sorry for David Cameron, and I never thought that would happen.
Do you?
Yeah.
Why?
Because I think the guy who's done it to him is a much bigger cunt than he is, and so we should be having to go at him.
Yeah, well, they're both
cunts. And I also think they are both cunts.
Thank you. Yes.
But also, I just don't think you should be able to just say something about someone and then it becomes true without seeing the photo. Or, you know, I mean, I've made jokes about Debbie McGee, so I can't really count. I've never seen the photos. But. So, you know, but it's kind of weird.
What have you said about Daniel?
I can't say any more. We have to cut two bits now. all right, look, I'm going to come up with it. This is going to blow you up.
Oh, go on then.
Have you ever? No, I'm interviewing Grayson Perry later in the.
Are you?
Yeah. That's the caliber of people we get on here. Very exciting. But I'm very interested in modern art, and I kind of create artistic pieces. I feel. Do you ever come up with ideas for art? Because it's kind of the same as comedy, and it's just putting two things together.
Well, I nearly went to art school.
Did you? There you go.
Yeah, it was either drama school or art school. end of the last second I decided to go to drama school. But I've painted a lot in the past.
What kind of stuff did you paint?
Oil paints, portraits.
Was it conceptual,
sold a
realistic?
Lot of stuff.
Did you?
Yeah.
That'd be worth a lot of money though, isn't that? It's like Hitler.
I know.
I feel like having something owned by Hitler.
Yeah.
Done by Hitler. Similar thing.
Yeah.
What kind of stuff were you painting?
Faces. Yeah. Quite good.
Yeah.
I might go back to that at some point, you know, when it all goes tits up.
That's not going to happen, though. That's
good.
Oh,
it might.
Yeah, it might do. Well, it could happen to any of us. That's the problem. We don't know.
We don't know.
You've been doing... Oh, well, I saw you doing this... recently, you've done this parody of the couples... Is it the couples?
Couples, yeah. Couples.
Called the Wankers.
Yeah.
Which is worth... You're doing... But you do quite a lot of sort of short film for the stuff. Is that fair to say?
I like a lot of short films because I think, you know, after a minute you're bored, aren't you? We specifically made them really short so that, you know, because when I start watching someone's short film, if it's over like 3 minutes, I'm like, come on. So that's why I like them. I like them short.
Yeah.
I'm wearing a Couples jacket. It's hypocritical, isn't it?
I don't think it is, because you're parodying adverts of it, not
But
clothing.
I'll buy their clothes.
Yeah, it's fine.
Oh, okay.
I like Marmite, but I do a joke about not liking Marmite in my current show, because it's funnier to say I don't like Marmite. I've been invited to be... I can't believe this is true, right?
Yeah.
Because I've mentioned Marmite at some point in my past. Someone's got in touch asking me if I'll be some kind of like ambassador for Marmite.
Really?
And it's not like a paid thing. It's like you go on some website and it says, do you like Marmite? And the reward for doing it is a lifetime supply of Marmite. But, I mean, how do they work that out? Because I eat a lot of Marmite. You know, the big tubs of Marmite. You know, if I have the little thing of Marmite, that's about enough Marmite for one piece of toast for me.
Yeah, it sounds like they're going through your bins.
It might be. That's
great, though.
I'm kind of interested to work out. I'm going to say yes because I want to work out how much a lifetime supply.
The face of Marmite.
I don't think I'd even be the face. I think I'd just be a mysterious figure. I'm called upon, you know, maybe if there's a situation where Marmite's in trouble, they would call me out to go, no, Marmite is good.
If you could be the face of anything, what would it be?
Having sex with Gemma Chan from Humans. I'd be the face of that.
I was thinking more of a product.
Just when anyone's talking about having sex with Gemma Chan from Robots, from Humans, I just come on and talk about it. Do you think she'd be allowed to have sex with robots? Because it's a big controversial subject now. There's...
I think that's fine.
Yeah, I think it is.
Yeah.
See, my wife really disagrees. I think it's going to drive us apart.
Why?
Because she would see it as being unfaithful. I mean, it's not going to happen for 50
right,
years.
Yeah.
But they're not. It's a robot. It's not a human being.
Yeah.
It's like women, a lot of women use vibrators, don't they?
Yeah.
And that is like a robotic... That's like a robot, and they've just gone, don't bother with the rest of it, mate. It's okay. So I know, just chuck that lot away. I think that is more offensive to men and robots. Than having, you know, just at least go through the pretense of having the bloke there as well.
But he knows about it, and it's the same one all the time.
Yeah.
So I think it's different if it's like, if you're sleeping with loads of
I'm not talking about going out and
robots.
Having sex with hundreds of robots.
So you've got your own personal
robot.
She knows about it.
Well, yeah, she would.
Well,
I would
be
honest.
That'd be fine.
About it.
Yeah.
Well, not if she says it's not fine though. You can't come into our marriage and say, "Yeah, that's fine. That's fine, Katie. Don't worry. That's let him have his fun with
I'm
his."
Sure,
robot.
She'd rather the robot than, you know.
Yeah, but I think I'd get a robot that you could change the face of and stuff. It opens up an ethical debate, doesn't it? Because, like, in the future, it's beyond my lifespan anyway.
You're a poor
unfortunately,
wife.
Unfortunately, is that. You'll be able to choose anyone who owns the. If someone wants to have sex with me and I don't want to have sex with them, they can
just
make a robot of me, just like, and then bang, and they're having sex with me. And then what about my copyright of my own image? I don't want people having sex with me. What if someone wants to have sex with me and then they get a robot of me and then they have filmed the robot having sex with them and then say that was Richard Harris having sex with me?
But people might be having sex with your image right now. You don't know. You can't stop them.
I can stop. Well, it's interesting because masturbation is that in your, you know, you'll fantasize about someone. So that's interesting. That's an interesting dilemma. I've thought about this a lot. But you know, you could use that, you know, if you think how awful trolls are now, for example, imagine if they had access to a robot of someone, they could do all sorts of horrible things to it.
Couldn't they? Oh, right, yeah.
And then so they could use it as a way to abuse an actual person.
Mm.
Yeah.
So if you had a robot, then yeah. Whose face would you put on it?
Gemma Chan from at the moment.
What was like your first celebrity crush? The earliest one that you can remember? I wish that seemed.
I really liked, I think there was someone before this, but I really liked the blonde one from ABBA. The blonde one from
the
ABBA.
Blonde one?
Yeah. Blonde one.
Can't even remember her name.
I didn't know her name at the time. Agneta. And then I liked Barry Manilow. And Nana Mouskouri.
Wow!
And there's a lot of singers.
Yeah.
And the blonde one from Sweet, who was a man, Brian Connolly.
Brian Connolly.
Brian Connolly.
Brian Connolly.
Brian Connolly.
You had a crush on Brian Connolly.
Brian Connolly.
What is happening? I don't understand.
Brian Connolly from The Sweet. Not Brian Connolly.
Oh, right, not like... It's
Brian,
a puppet,
Brian
not Connolly. Him. Right, okay.
Who was your first celebrity?
Finally!
Thank you.
Dave Allen.
Was it? Yeah, yeah. That's a good choice.
It sort of still is.
Yeah.
It's like, you know, I never really got over him.
Yeah.
Oh. I know, it's sad, isn't it?
I love Dave Allen, he's amazing. I mean, I'm not in that way.
I also quite like the spiff from Dad's
Home. Oh, did you? Yeah. Is it James Walker or was that the character? That was
James,
the James Speck.
Beck,
James Beck,
yeah.
Yeah. He was it before he died or after he died? He died very young. You weren't alive when he died.
Probably not. I don't know what year did he die. I
like
know.
It. I was alive at the time.
Well, I liked him when he was alive anyway.
Did he? Yeah. That's nice. Oh yeah, sorry. There's lots of flies.
Right.
Spread here. It's just sort of a disgusting cesspool, and however much you clean up, there are terrible flies all over the place. So yeah, cool. Well, look, I'm going to ask you about. A question that I have thought of for a long time. Wish I'd asked you about the ghosts out here,
yeah.
But I'll ask you this instead. Have you ever seen a Bigfoot?
No.
It was a gamble. It was a terrible gamble. Do you come up with terrorist ideas? Because Charlie Brooker had some good ones. Do you come up with plans to wipe out lots
no,
of human beings?
No, I wouldn't know how to do that.
Yeah,
I can't even drive.
That's a good one, though. You could drive. I mean, you could do more damage with a car. Than you
yeah,
could.
Drive over people.
Yeah.
Back over. No.
You must never learn to drive. That would be a terrible. And then you might be able to run some people over. Car. What do you think is worse, bestiality or necrophilia? Which is
worse?
Bestiality, yeah. Having sex with an animal or having sex with a dead person or animal?
Animals. Yeah, yeah, definitely bestiality.
Yeah, really.
I think so because they're alive, aren't they?
I know, but then
and
there.
You know, I don't know. Maybe they'd enjoy it.
They don't care. They don't care. They don't remember.
Yeah, no. I'm going with the other one.
Okay.
Necrophilia.
They're both bad.
It's worse.
But why can't everyone be babies though? don't they be great?
I don't think it'd work. No.
We'll be friends.
We'd starve to death.
I know. It doesn't matter.
Sort of does though. We die out.
It would be fun for the day.
For the day.
Who would change the nappies?
There wouldn't.
Yeah, exactly. Who would change their nappies?
There wouldn't be any nappies because we'd be babies, and there wouldn't be anyone who would put the nappies on. You'd just poo in the ground. It would be beautiful. That's how nature intends. Just wee yourself. I don't care, babies. I tell you, that's amazing.
This is much stranger than I thought it would.
Is it really?
Yeah.
It's partly because the audience are just sitting there staring at us like they've been forced to come in here.
It's like a dream.
It is like a dream.
It's like a bad dream.
It is. It is very much like that. This will run it round. Do you have a favourite towel? Yeah.
Yeah, I think everyone does.
Yeah, well, you'd be surprised.
Yeah. Well, when you first buy them, they don't sort of absorb, do they? You have to wash them a few times. You know, if you first buy a towel, when you first use it the first few times, it just moves the water around, doesn't it? It doesn't soak it up. So you've got to find one that's like, you know, a good few months, not too old, but not too new.
Yeah.
You know, and it's good size. I like a bath sheet.
Yeah, well, I like the big ones, but I stick, when I got a favourite, I stick with it.
Yeah.
How, through thick and thin, literally.
Do you ever wash it?
Yeah, yeah.
Right.
Yeah, I mean, if I, you know, if it's in the washing machine, I use a different towel, but
right.
It's still my favourite towel. Yeah. Thinking this isn't my favourite towel, the one I'm using. I'll be glad when my favourite one's back.
Is it more of a comfort blanket?
No. It's just I like it. It knows my body. It's learnt the contours where the dampness gathers, and it just does the job.
Are you a fan of memory foam?
Memory foam? No, no, no. Are you?
Never tried it.
No. If you could assassinate any public figure and get away with it, who would you choose to kill?
I've just got just one person.
You could do a few.
I would probably go for... Well, say if I had, like, one bullet.
Yeah.
I'd line three people up.
Okay.
So that hopefully you'd get them all.
Yeah.
Cameron... Ian Duncan Smith.
Oh,
and what's that other fucking arsehole called?
Yeah, yeah, him, definitely him.
Hey?
Jeremy Hunt.
No, the other one with the eyes.
Michael Gove.
No, the...
That's who I've got.
Osborne, yeah. Osborne.
Just conservative.
Those three.
I had the chance to kill Michael Gove.
Did you?
Yeah. Oh, I had several chances, but I saw him unarmed, unprotected in the...
Oh. So what would you have done?
I had a beer bottle. I could have smashed him in the face with it. He was with his kids.
Oh,
and, you
no.
know, also, I'd have
gone
to prison.
It's not fair on them,
like,
is it, then? Yeah.
To see their father bludgeoned to death.
Yeah.
I mean, even if your dad's Michael Gove, you still got to... There must be some residue of love in there.
Yeah.
But it's interesting to see. It was interesting, and then I tried to write about the Metro because I write for the Metro.
Yes.
They wouldn't let me write about it in the Metro. That I was regretting the fact that I could have killed Michael Gove. I think because they thought I was revealing that Michael Gove walked around without bodyguards, and therefore someone might go.
Oh right, ooh. That's a good idea. Yeah.
But you know, give him a bodyguard. I mean, if anyone needs a bodyguard, not from terrorists and stuff, just from anyone in the street.
Yeah.
Michael Gove's the worst one, I think, out of all of them.
Yeah.
Osborne.
He's like a snake, isn't he? His eyes. He's disgusting.
I don't know any stories about him that I could tell you.
Was he there at the same time?
I think he was, but he must be shitting himself about becoming Prime Minister, because if he becomes Prime Minister, there's a lot more stuff that someone like Ashcroft could say about him than...
Oh, yeah.
I mean, there's sort of 70 stuff on record about him, but he's...
Yeah, I've bought the stuff about the pencils.
There is the stuff about the pencils. I don't know if that's on record, but the pencils, Osborne. But then that's what's interesting about it, is if there are these figures who pay for the parties and they can reveal, you know, they have them in that thrall. That's what's terrifying about it, is the people behind the scenes. So if Osborne becomes Prime Minister, he must be always worrying that he's going to be revealed for what he is, the most awful man alive.
Oh, assassinated.
And so therefore, you know, these people have a power over him to do whatever they want him to do, don't they?
Mm.
So that's the terror. So it's not about people, it's about the people with the money and with the stories that they've made them do these things. And then I think, so, you know, I think it's because it's so funny, the idea of a man who has a slightly red and weird face putting his cock in a pig's mouth. It's hard to get beyond that and think about the implications beyond it.
Yeah, I don't think anyone could think of anything else, could they, for a good 3 days.
Have you ever come up with a good zombie film idea? My one's having wombles as zombies or
I've
babies.
I've never really
zombies.
Been into zombies.
No,
or vampires. I like vampires from the 70s, but not like modern American young teenage vampires. I'm sick of them.
There's a lot of them.
There's too many.
And a lot of zombies.
Yeah.
What if the zombies were babies, though, or wombles? What if they were baby wombles?
What if zombies were baby wombles?
What then? What then, Diane? What then?
I mean,
were you not prepared for that question?
No.
What have you got coming up in the near future? Because we're going to have to stop talking to you in a second.
Okay. I've got... I'm doing a sitcom. Joe Wilkinson.
Oh, yes.
Beardy Joe has written a sitcom with David Earle.
Oh, yes.
Called Rovers.
Okay.
And I'm going to be in that.
Good.
That's November sorted.
And are you going to do more stuff with Joe, like as the double act, or as the...
I doubt it.
No.
No.
It's really good.
He's too busy.
He won't be busy for long.
No,
he'll be fine.
You know, you want to do other things, yeah, though, don't you? I mean, I'd love to work with him again, but maybe do something different. You know.
Yeah.
Keep it interesting.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Good. Mm. Well, thank you so much for coming along.
My pleasure.
Having a bad dream with me. It's been a dream for me, and a terrible dream for me. Ladies and gentlemen, give a massive round of applause. Diane Morgan, ladies and gentlemen. We'll be back next time with Lee Mack and Jamie Godley. So come along next week.
How'd you like them sky potatoes?
100% from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more, with Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to Quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. Quince.com/style.
Imagine the softest sheets you've ever felt. Now imagine them getting even softer over time. That's what you'll feel with Boll & Branch's organic cotton sheets. In a recent customer survey, 96% replied that Boll & Branch sheets get softer with every wash. Start getting your best night's sleep in these sheets that get softer and softer for years to come. Try their sheets with a 30-night guarantee. Plus, get 15% off your first order at bollandbranch.com. Code BUTTERY. Exclusions apply. See site for details.
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.
Thanks for listening. Do come and see me on tour. RichardHerring.com/gigs is the easiest way to find out where I'm going. And GoFasterStripe.com, you can buy books and downloads. And just tell your friends about the podcast. If you can't make it to the tour show, if you don't want to buy any products, then every time you listen to an advert, you're helping us make more podcasts with a very, very tiny micro payment. So thank you very much for that. I love you all. It's lovely to meet you on tour, by the way. Hello to everyone who's said hello so far. I do come and say hello after the show. If you enjoyed it, if you want to see me, that'd be nice. You can get a selfie. I don't care. I'm a selfie whore. All right, see you soon.